How do we, we're going to have to work with the volume here. How do we possibly hear the internet clap? What is that, like?
It's sign language.
It's sign language. Okay. Well, I'm Dr. Michael James. I've been in clinical work since 1980. I want to talk with this group. And those that are on the internet, please go to healthandweightlossclinic.com/downloads, and there will be some information there for you to kind of bring you up to speed to what we're going to do here. Now, can I tell a personal story before I get started? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. No, but go ahead. We're still working with a volume here. My cousin and I were trying to figure out how to catch a chicken one day. And we just couldn't catch, we wanted one certain chicken. In fact, it was a rooster we wanted because we wanted to get some feathers out of his tail end because we wanted to put them in our hat because they were black and they were curly and they were really cool, but we couldn't catch that dirty bugger. We just couldn't do it. So Papa made us a chicken catcher, okay? And it wasn't the one he used. We couldn't find what he used. He used to use a wire that had a kind of like a hook on it. You just catch their leg, and then he got it. Well, this one was more fun. In fact, he sat there laughing as we were doing this. He took a piece of corn and put a hole in this piece of corn. It was a good-sized piece of corn, and then put a piece of fishing line on it and tied a piece of corn on a fishing line. And he says, go throw that out there on the ground in front of that chicken. Well, first the chicken had run away, but he'd come back and look at that, and he'd peck at it, and he said, now, don't pull on it too soon. So the chicken would get it in his mouth, and it was a pretty good-sized piece of corn, but swallow it. Well, we thought, oh, we got him. And we pull it, and it came out too fast. He says, you got to wait until it gets into the craw. So what he did was he took the fishing line, and he put a weight on it. And he says, now, when this gets to the beak of the chicken, you got him. Well, that was one of the hardest things I ever did, was to wait for that piece of corn to go down that chicken's long neck far enough that we could lead him around. But once we caught him, that chicken was ours. And we could lead it around, and we had more fun leading it around and taking it to show people because they couldn't see the string. They couldn't see the fishing line, so we'd be walking, and we'd say, Grandma, look at that chicken. He's following us. And we'd walk around with that chicken pretty much everywhere for a long period of time until the chicken threw up his piece of corn out of his gizzard. And it was pretty mangled by that time. But we had to do it again and again and again because we forgot, we had so much fun, we forgot to get the feather off of the chicken. So we finally get our feather. That was lots of fun. When we tried to do it with too big of a string. We didn't have any fishing line, and we never really were very successful doing the same thing that Papa had done for us because of the fish line. Now, I tell this story because many times we get led around by things that we don't have any control about, okay? We dietary things and misconceptions, and in fact, I've said it hundreds and hundreds of times, and I'm going to say it some more. If Hitler had the TV and the magazines and the propaganda that we have today, we'd all be speaking German, and I wouldn't be giving you my opinion. Because if he had a real good propaganda machine, but nothing compared to what we have today. In fact, most of what people believe on diet and health, they learned on the television, and it's absolutely incorrect. The people that are on there are generally trying to sway public opinion. Most of it is advertisements. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I'd like to talk specifically with you. You took the time to come here to listen, and I want to talk with you instead of at you. So I'm going to ask you to give us your name and maybe a little bit of what you'd like to discuss. And those that are on the internet, please don't hesitate to email your questions, and we will answer them here on air. If it's too late during the discussion, then I will have to make sure we email it to you. So please do that. Now, young man, why did you show up here? You're pretty unhealthy.
I'm learning about pH and carbs and proteins and all this stuff. And it's like, I have hepatitis C, and I need to know what's healthy, because I've tried the Atkins diet. I've tried a few other different diets, and it's like, it leaves my digestive system all messed up, and my energy levels not so.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're at the right place, because I will custom my remarks toward that. Okay. If you have questions, we'll make sure at the end that we've answered your questions. Okay. Why are you here? You figured you'd come see the doc talk?
Yeah. That's
all. And? I don't. You're zipping your mouth.
I just want to learn more about herbs.
Herbs and general overall health. Okay. Well, as we deal with health. You said you were pretty unhealthy when you first started talking. So my response to that is, you're a typical American. You're in large company. I mean, most everyone in America. And, we think about our country. We realize, oh, my goodness, this is one of the most abundant countries there is. But as far as health and information, we're in the Stone Age when it comes to a lot of things. I was a kid, and I'm sure you were taught the basic four food groups. Now, the basic four food groups was an advertising campaign put out by the Meat and Dairy Association, okay? But it was taught to us as truth. This is the way, the true diet. This is, and it was an advertising campaign.
It was more like a pyramid.
Well, now, the pyramid that was taught to younger kids, not these old codgers, these old fossils, the food pyramid was written by the agricultural department. And they know less about diet. Well, they know about the same amount as the Meat and Dairy Association. It's designed to sell more of their products, period. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. First off, you mentioned something that was very important. You mentioned the Atkins diet. There's a lot of misconception about high-protein diets. People believe that, well, if I want to bulk up and I want to get more muscle, I eat protein. Okay, got to eat protein to. If I'm losing weight, I need to eat protein because I need the muscle. I'm trying to grow muscle. That's a misconception in the respect that look at nature, and every animal that is a large muscle structure animal is a plant eater. Every one of them, elephants, wildebeests, and cattle, and it just goes on and on. They're all the ones that have very massive muscle structures are plant eaters. So what we're getting when we eat protein, we're eating secondhand nutrients. Now, I don't have a problem with meat. I'm not saying vegetarianism. That's not what I'm saying. Although you could be perfectly healthy being a vegetarian. But a high-protein diet does more than that. You see this sign that I have on the wall I'm sorry that we can't let the people on the internet see that, but the one that has the lines, the white lines in it? Those are called calcium spokes. Now, the way we do dry blood analysis is we take and stick your finger and get you leaking blood. And then we put it on a slide and then we let it dry. And that pattern of blood where it has lines in it indicates demineralization. Now, with high protein, let's call that concentrated protein. With concentrated protein, it requires a pH, which you talked about, a pH of 1 to 2 in the stomach. Very acidic. Now, that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. But concentrated protein requires a pH between 1 and 2 to digest in the stomach. But when it goes to the small intestine, it's got to change to 6 right there. And it does. The body does that. There's nothing you can do to change that. And if there's not enough minerals in your blood, to change this pH from 2 to 6, and on the scale, that's quite a ways. It's going to take quite a bit of minerals, and it does it with minerals in the body, out of the blood, if there's not enough minerals in the blood to do that with you, then it goes, gets it out of the bones of the body to accomplish that metabolic process. These lines are evidence of that demineralization of the body. So a long-term high-protein diet causes demineralization, okay? Which most people, they think, well, you know, I've got osteoporosis, I've got osteopenia, I've got thinning of the bones, I need to take Fosamax or I need to take a mineral supplement. Yes, a mineral supplement's good. But if people have a very large protein consumption, that's the first place to start. Now, a lot of people want to know, am I consuming enough protein? The answer is in your fingernail. A fingernail on your thumb has a moon. That moon should only exist in your thumb and perhaps on your index finger. That's it. If it goes clear over to your little finger, you're eating too much protein. You want to see mine? There's the thumb. Now you look at babies after they're born, they haven't that white at all. Okay? Now I have seen vegetarians have too high protein in their body. People that concentrate as a vegetarian just on eating things that have protein, like that's all they eat is beans or whatever. Do you understand? So it is possible to have too much protein in the body. But too high of protein, vegetable sources of protein don't cause that to happen as drastically, okay? But this change in pH is critical, and the reason why long-term use of a lot of protein for a long period of time will demineralize the body. Now, there's another category of food, okay? Concentrated starch. Concentrated starch. Now, you hear the word starch and carbohydrate used synonymously. Starch and carbohydrate are different. Starch is something that came off of a tree, out of the ground, off of a bush. Brown rice, starch. White rice, or even Uncle Ben's converted white rice, is a carbohydrate. World's a difference. One's been processed because they want your money, okay? Brown rice has a tendency to perhaps long-term go rancid. They can't sell rancid grain to you because you smell it and you bring it back to the store. But white rice doesn't have any of that ability. It doesn't go bad. Bugs will hardly eat it. Okay? Well, wheat, berry, starch, white flour, carbohydrate. Okay? Now, in the concentrated protein, let's put here also calories per gram. Concentrated protein renders 4 calories per gram. Okay, starch renders 1 calorie per gram. Okay. Okay. Let's say, for instance, your stomach. Let's make this your stomach now. Okay, it's a 100 grams, okay? To fill your stomach up, now Americans don't think in grams. Do you know what a stick of butter is? Okay, that size is 100 grams. So let's say your stomach is 100 grams big. So we're going to fill it up with food. Now, a calorie is a unit of energy, okay? So some centigrade or whatever, okay? Right. So if we fill our stomach up with 100 grams, it's full, of protein, concentrated protein, we have 400 calories to burn, okay? If we fill it up with starch, we have 100 calories to burn. Big difference, okay? Big difference. People say, well, how can I lose weight? Well, eat more starch. Now, that flies in the face of all the information out there. They say carbs make you fat. Well, carbs may, starch will never. Starch is whole grain, okay? Whole foods, and also most of the vegetables have hardly any calories as far as that goes. But the thing that calories don't take into consideration is the amount of nutrients that they have. Brown rice still has calories in it, but it has no vitamins or minerals. Starch has a tremendous amount of nutrients. Okay?
In the brown rice?
Oh, yeah. Because in the grain, the nutrients are next to the hull, next to the fiber. And they take that off, and then all you got is that white stuff, and then you develop gluten intolerance and different things like that. People that have a gluten intolerance can begin to eat whole grain and not have problems. Their problem is what's been left. It's called fractionated foods. Starches are the most processed foods there are. So most of the food products come from starch, white flour, you know, make it, okay. And then they add stuff to it to enrich it. Enriched flour means they took out, what was it, 7 or 8 vitamins and put in 2. That's enriched flour. Okay? Right. Then we also have the neutral category, which is vegetables and salads and those types, nuts, seeds, things like that. That's another category, okay? So, in liver disorders, liver dysfunctions and things like that, there is an herb, you need to write it down. It's called Schisandra. Don't ask me how to spell it. It's S-C-H something, okay? Schisandra. I can just barely spell Michael, and I just learned how to do that before, you know, just a few years back. That's Schisandra. That sounds good to me. They'll know what you're talking about. And also a formula called Live Clean. Both of those formulas, Live, L-I-V, and then just Clean. Okay? Those two formulas make a big difference. Now, I have had patients over the years take Schisandra and also Live Clean, and they've done it for several months, even years, and then the next time they do a blood work, they don't even come up with hepatitis markers. Livers can be cleaned up. Okay, there is also, if you're serious about cleaning up your liver, on the webpage at drugfreehelp.com, under diets, there is a liver clean diet.
Drug-free help?
Help, H-E-L-P. There, and when I say a diet, it's a cleanse. It's not, it's just a day or so, okay? And that is very, very beneficial in liver problems.
All my enzymes, every time I get tested, are usually pretty good and low.
Right, but they can still see that you have hepatitis C. Okay?
Well, yeah, I have the antibodies for it.
Right.
I'll always have the antibodies for it, but it doesn't mean that I necessarily have this.
I understand. I'm telling you the antibodies will begin to dissipate after healing the liver. That's what I'm telling you. See it quite regularly. Okay, but it takes some work. Okay, now we talked about pH. pH is a scale that is very important. Let me turn this over here. What do you know about pH?
I just know my pH is, I'm supposed to be alkaline at 7 or 7.2. And when I first tested my urine, it was like in the 5s. And I was like, whoa!
And you probably only, the reason that you tested 5 probably is because the test strip didn't go any further than 5.
Right.
Many times people, well, most people that come in to see me are around the 5s. Very common, okay? The pH scale actually means potential for hydrogen. Potential for hydrogen. And that's why the scale goes from 0 to 14, 14 being alkaline and 0 being acid. You know, when we first start talking about pH, a lot of times people think the higher number, the worse it is. And also, when people begin to change their diet, they will say, well, my pH hasn't changed. I'm getting rid of acid. That's an impossibility, okay? You're not getting rid of acid. Your body may be holding on to the hydrogen that you have, and sometimes that will happen, but a pH scale is, in the urine, the amount of hydrogen that is dissipated, meaning you have a little to spare, okay? So we need to be, the magic number is above 7.2.
I say basically 7 to 8. And the reason that I prefer that is this picture also, if you get up here a little closer, you'll see black spots in the blood, okay? That's the presence of parasite. Mold, fungus, yeast, virus, cancer all grow in an acid environment.
That's one thing I wanted to ask too. Is it cancer a rebellious cell that's not responding?
That's what they'd want you to believe, okay? Cancer is a fungus. It's a fungus. In fact, if you want to do more research on that, Tullio Simoncini, and don't ask me how to spell that. Tullio Simoncini is, oh, I thought you had a question on the internet. She will write it down for you or tell you the spelling.
Okay.
Tullio Simoncini. On the internet, he has several YouTube videos that are just wonderful. He is an oncologist from Italy. He is one of the, and he says, when I was a kid, going through medical school, they acted like cancer was a mystery, and it just didn't make any sense to him. He said, this is crazy. Well, he works with terminally ill children, and he just couldn't tolerate it. So he is merely changing the pH of tumor cells, of tumor growths. He is literally injecting the tumor growths with bicarbonate of soda, baking soda.
Yeah.
That's it. And they shrink. He basically said that, you know, on some of his information on the YouTube, is that a fungus-fighting drug will not work because the cells adapt. You must just change the environment. It's like, for instance, if you were a saltwater fish, I could stab you a lot before you die. But if I change the water you're living in, I don't have to kill you. You will die. And that's basically what they're doing because of pH. Right, so if we change the pH, mold, fungus, yeast, bacteria, virus, cancer dies. Yes, blood cancers are a little more difficult because the problem with the blood is the blood is a fine line of where it needs to be. Do you understand? So you need, and that fine line needs to be on the higher side of alkalinity. Okay, blood many times can be too acidic, but if it goes too acidic, you'll die. Yeah, I mean you'll go into a seizure. No.
No. So it's actually something that's grown. So you have cancer, will it go away?
Every tumor growth of cancer is white. It's a fungus.
It's a fungus.
Oh,
so
now
they will go away, they don't dissipate.
Exactly.
Is that because of the pH? It's not right. Is that what forms that fungus?
My personal opinion, and you're going to get personal opinion, I have no data to support this other than watching patients that have had cancer. I don't treat cancer, but watching patients that have had cancer alkalize themselves and it disappear, I believe that long-term acidity causes and encourages fungus to get carried away in the body. Well, don't bring them to me.
No,
just help them alkalize themselves. Do you understand? Cancer is a fungus, and it dies at 7.2. Now, the problem is checking your urine, 7.2 is not going to cut it. You're going to have to be above that because it's the average. You can get up, anybody that's checked their pH, in the morning they're more alkaline, and during the day they get acidic. That's just the normal rhythm of the body. That's just the way it is. So what we want is that average throughout the day to be above 7.2. So we're looking for into the 8s. Baking soda or water. The cheapest, fastest, easiest way to alkalize yourself is drinking a gallon of water with 1 teaspoon of baking soda. Can you over-alkalize yourself? In the years that I've been working with people, I've only seen 2 or 3 individuals above 8 for a long period of time. And they had the symptoms of being lethargic, tired, wore out. And then we just added a few other things and it made a difference. But these were people that had cancers and serious things for a long period of time and had really, really struggled and then really, really maintained that alkalinity. Now, and I have also seen patients that have been been deemed clean of cancer, and then they start eating back like they were, and boom, it gets them. I mean, it hits them hard. Alkalinity has got to stay for these patients the rest of their life. They've got to watch that.
So like you were saying, how does how do we make sure that our diet's right so that our pH stays balanced?
First off, don't eat too much meat. Okay? Second off, eat lots of leafy green vegetables and plant material, like salads and vegetables.
Vegetable oil.
Okay? Well, vegetable oil's another can of worms that needs to be discussed, okay? And then fruit. A lot of times people say, well, fruit, if I eat citrus, it feeds my candida. You know, I can't do that. Well, there's a difference between fruit and fruit products. Any fruit that's cooked will cause, it's not as good, okay? Fruit must be raw and no added sugar, and it is alkaline. Now, you can test the pH of an orange, but when you put it in your body, it is alkaline. Okay.
Because I like to drink citrus drinks.
Citrus drinks are great. The problem, the only problem you need to be concerned about is added sugar with citrus.
Right. You know, I drink like Frescas and stuff like that.
That's not a citrus drink. That's a soda pop with maybe a little citrus flavor. For every soda pop that you drink, the acids that are there dehydrate your body 7 times. And it's not, I mean, Just the dehydration effect is so insurmountable by the body's giving it a problem. We're not even dealing with all the chemicals and garbage and sugars and sweeteners and different things like that that's there. Okay.
Okay. What about orange juice and like cranberry juice?
Orange juice and those kind of things that have no added sugar are perfectly fine. The only problem is it's a product. And it needs to be. Some people can't tolerate it at full strength. It gives them a sugar rush and then a sugar drop. Okay.
Fresh raw
fruits are great. I would still also perhaps water them down until you know that you can tolerate the sugar that's going to hit you, because it raises your blood sugar levels up and then it can drop you. So, but they're much superior. Okay. Okay. At this point, are there any questions at all?
No, you're doing good, man.
I'm doing good. Okay. I have no clue what time we're here. We have Patty here, kind of. What's that? Good. Is there something else you wanted me to go over with? Over.
Can you overeat and nuts and seeds? Because you contain that fat.
You can overeat fats or something. You can overeat on anything. Okay.
A couple nuts mixed, is that too much?
No. I don't think we as people in America eat too many nuts. Nuts are kind of like, oh, it's the holidays, I'll get some nuts. You know, I don't think we consume enough nuts. The thing you need to understand about nuts and also seeds are that they have enzyme blockers, meaning they're storable. They don't spoil. And many times people have a hard time digesting them. Too many nuts many times will constipate the bowels and things like that. Now, to stop to turn off the enzyme blockers, soaking nuts and seeds before you consume them is the way to do that. Or toasting them. Now, I'm not saying go buy some roasted nuts. I'm saying do it yourself, because there's a big difference in quality there. Okay, big difference. Nuts and seeds have a tremendous amount of oil. In fact, oil is also another thing that is misunderstood in America. Oil and fats are misunderstood. They render 9 calories per gram. So you fill your stomach full of butter, you get 900 calories to burn if it's 100 grams. It's very concentrated. But we need 3 to 5 tablespoons in our diet every day. I'm not saying vegetable oil. We're going to go down what kind. If you don't do that, you have a question?
An internet
Yes, go ahead.
This woman asks, I use what about, or I can't believe it's not butter because it has less calories. Is that okay?
You're watching this because you wanted my opinion. Why would they want to make something taste like something that is okay? Butter is perfectly acceptable. Nothing wrong with butter. Nothing wrong with butter. Now, there's various stages of good. You know, if you get it from a clean dairy that doesn't have RBGH and different things like that, that's always very nice. If it's grass-fed cattle, it's always very nice. There's nothing wrong with butter, okay? Margarines are not food, never were food. I can make butter just by taking cream, put it in a fruit jar and shaking it for a little while, and it'll turn into butter. You can't make margarine. Can't make it. It is hydrogenated, okay? The best form of oil on the planet is coconut oil, okay? Butter is just as good. The only problem with butter is it's not as heat tolerable. Its smoke point is much lower, unless you use ghee, which is basically butter that's been clarified and has no milk solids in it. Okay?
How is vegetable butter?
It's similar to margarine sometimes. I'd have to look at the package. If you pick up butter or oil and it does, butter, if it doesn't say salt and cream, put it down. In fact, salt-free butters, oh my goodness, you just can't imagine what they put in those, okay? You need a good quality oil. Any oil in the grocery store is not good quality oil. It needs to come out of a health food store. It needs to be unrefined.
So, okay, what about your cooking oils, though?
Coconut oil.
Extra virgin olive oil
is okay as long as it's it is unrefined. That's fine. The only problem is putting putting olive oil on popcorn is kind of, you know. So you have to decide what kind of oils you want to do. Okay.
Okay. So I have another question too because I just recently started taking it's like a honey, bee honey. Because I know a guy that does. He has his own bees and stuff. He makes his own honey, and he puts cinnamon in it, and he just churns it up, I guess, really fast. And
it's all light and white and creamy.
Right. Creamy makes it a cream, and I heard that helps the stomach acids and stuff for indigestion.
Cinnamon does do that. In fact, in pregnancy, women that have morning sickness, if they will just lick their finger, get it wet, and put it in cinnamon, and then do that 2 or 3 times. A lot of times we'll take care of the nausea. So, yes, cinnamon's good.
Cinnamon's good for the stomach. Okay. And I heard honey is like a whole food.
It is a whole food as long as it's not, you know, there's varying degrees of honey. If you want to go into the honey, you want to talk honey, let's talk honey. Okay. The best, the honey, sweetie, we're going to talk about. Okay, the best honey is honey that comes from happy bees, okay? Bees that are left alone, wild-crafted honey that you go and get out of a trunk of a tree or whatever. That's the best form of honey. But if you take that honey and you process it with heat, it becomes inferior. If it's centrifugally spun out of the comb, then it's much better. Okay, that's the best. Now, if you have a beehive and you treat your hives well and you maintain them well and you don't take all the honey away from them during the winter, beekeepers become very greedy. Come fall, they take all the honey out of the hive and they give them caro syrup to eat during the winter. That hive next year will make a very inferior honey. Because it's a weakened hive. It weakens the entire hive. Okay? So, there's varying degrees of honey. Okay? And it's all about keeping it as natural as possible. Okay? There are some awesome brands out there. But just the word raw doesn't necessarily keep you from sugared bees. You know, there's a real decrease of bee population. My personal opinion is I believe that beekeepers have kept bees for so long and are so greedy that they sugar them to the point during the winter that they become weakened and they're slowly not producing. I believe it's genetically made them weaker, in my opinion. Okay? So honey's absolutely wonderful food, but it needs to be as good as you can get. Okay?
So can you explain what a whole food is? Yeah, explain that.
It's 100%. A whole food is 100% wheat, kernel. That's whole food. When we process this, we turn it into flour. It becomes 99 one-hundredths. Okay, because we've simplified the food. Okay, then we're gonna sift it out, and we're gonna make white flour, and that's another fraction of what it used to be. Then we're gonna bleach it so that the American people don't like the brown flakes, but it's not necessarily for marketing. It's because if we bleach it, it will stay on the shelf forever, and bugs won't eat it. So then it becomes much less. A fraction. Any food that's been fractionated is no longer a whole food. Now, is it necessary to eat 100% whole food? Not necessarily, no. Okay?
Right.
You want to be as close to this as we possibly can be. Okay? Now, granted, a broccoli that comes out of the garden is whole food, but once we cook it, it becomes more fractionated. If we overcook it, definitely. Steaming still does that process, but not, it's negligible. Do you understand? The difference between 99 100ths is pretty much the same. Okay? Now, I'm not saying eat all raw. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? But the closest we can get to it, okay, like Hot Pockets. Where do you think Hot Pockets work in this?
Probably
way the heck down here. Yeah. Because besides that, they add chemicals and different things that actually take your health away from you. Okay?
Yeah, that's another thing too. I heard that if you don't have enough minerals and stuff like that in your water, I don't know. I forget exactly how to put it. He said that like it affects your urine somehow.
Okay, well, how can I say this without sounding... never mind. You've been rocking. You've been talking and listening to the wrong people. Okay, minerals, and I'm not criticizing you. Please don't think that. Minerals in water are inorganic. It's like eating dirt. You can't eat dirt and assimilate the minerals from it. It can't be done. And minerals that are dissolved in water merely makes the water taste a little better. But as far as you utilizing that, it's very, very difficult to do that. In order for us to utilize minerals from the dirt, it must go into a plant. Go into the leaves of a plant or into the fruit of it, and then we consume it, and then we can assimilate it. It's called chelation. They chelate it so that we can assimilate it. Okay? So minerals, water, I believe ought to be distilled or reverse osmosis. Okay? And consume your minerals from your plant foods, okay? Now, one thing that I wanted you to understand is the reason we have fats and oils that are important is how much oil do you think is in your brain? Take a wild guess. Then double it.
10%.
Oh. I put 80%. Your oil, your brain is 80% oil.
90% water.
Well, 80% oil. 80% oil. Now, just having a fat-free diet in America has given people real problems. We don't utilize vitamin A, D, E, or K because they're fat-soluble vitamins. We don't utilize them as well. Okay. Now, I need you both to understand that what we've been talking about is basically six elements of health. Okay. Food, understanding food. Avoid food products. We need to also avoid food additives. And there are two different subjects, okay? We talked about fats and oils. Proper exercise. One, two, three, four, five. Every time I do this, not when I do that, I forget them. Yeah, two avoids. Okay, so these six elements, one, two, three, four, five. What am I missing?
You have food
pH. We talked about pH earlier. Okay, pH. These six elements are critical to understand so that you know how to take care of yourself. And all of these involve you, don't involve me. People need to understand the proper information, because taking care of your health is your ability. You don't have to be intervened with a doctor doing this and doing that, and oh, we have to do this process and do that. You were created with the ability to heal yourself. All we have to do is feed and nourish you properly. These six elements of health is what I have over the years come down to the reality of changing people's life and their health. These six elements. Because a lot of them aren't even discussed. I have a training facility that I open up in Albuquerque that is dedicated to that very process. I discovered real quickly that teaching people one-on-one was good, but in order for people to get enough information, it takes 7 months one-on-one every week to get that information to everybody. So I gather people together at a seminar in my training facility, and we spend 2 days together, and we get that information about these six elements of health. Now, if you were to invest the time and effort to come see me, which is fine, for 7 months, you would have paid me coming and seeing me that much. That's what the information is worth. And I'm cheap. $35 a visit. I'm worth it. Yeah, but that's what it's not so much the money that, I mean, that's important, but it's 7 stinking months.
Yeah.
It's just too long. So this information at our seminar is $490. We talk about the six critical elements of health and help each individual understand them. We don't pack them in to the point where everybody doesn't get dealt with. We try to limit our groups, 30, 40 people, sometimes 10, 15, depending on the group. It is very important that people be able to ask their questions, because you're not shy. But there are some people that are afraid to ask questions because they don't want to be thought something different, you know, not educated or whatever. So we're able to, in the first day, give people that information. And then the second day, we deal on implementing it into their lives. We have a, and also, we have a, what is it? We have a mechanism inside of us that keeps us where we're at, okay? What we're comfortable with. Many times changing health means we change who we are, and that becomes new territory. So dealing with sabotage, and that's what this is, dealing with sabotage is something we work with. What's that? Well, this, even though we may not like it, is familiar. Our brains were designed to give us familiar. In fact, we have a process inside our brain called the reticulated activating system, which only gives you familiar things. Everything else that is unfamiliar, you filter off. I've been noticing Volkswagens more lately. You know why? My kids bought Volkswagens. It's in my thoughts. It's in my memories. And I realized, wow, there sure is a lot of Volkswagens. Before, I never noticed them. I didn't even think that they hardly were around anymore since I was a kid. Now, I see the old ones, Because when I was a kid, I used to drive one of the old ones, and boom, I'll see them just, you know, they don't ever get past me. But the new ones, hardly notice until they became familiar. And that whole process is necessary. Now, we're having a seminar. When's the next one? Do you know? October. 19th and 20th, or 20th? 20th and 21st. We have another one when? January? 18 and 19? Yeah, because we do it as a group, and I'm able to talk at you all stinking day long. And besides that, we feed you the food that I'm talking about so you know what it tastes like. I had one lady, after the last seminar, she was in one of the side rooms, one of the classrooms, and she was sitting there writing something, and she's in tears. And I know her quite well, so I went up to her, and I says, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she says, "Oh, I'm so glad I came. I was dreading this. I thought I was going to come here and the food was going to be nasty." You know? Nasty. You know, healthy food, nasty food. They're synonymous in her brain. And if people are too thin, they gain weight. If they're too heavy, they lose weight. It's about health. And she was an individual that wanted to lose weight. I think within the first 2 weeks. Jessica, are you listening to me? Can you tell that story that she texted you?
She was awesome. She texted me and she said that she was a little stressed because her clothing wasn't fitting correctly anymore. When she very first started. That in the first 3 weeks, and she started out just combining, and then she actually did the WOW cleanse that we go over in the seminar, and she did it faithfully. In the first 3 weeks, she lost 19 pounds and two dress sizes. She said she had bought a dress the season before, the summer before, and it was two sizes too small, but she bought it because it was cute and it's a dream. She said, "It was a little baggy. I'm kind of disappointed I never got to wear it." So it was awesome. Just been 3 weeks.
And she's the one that I found crying because she thought, well, you know, her goal was to lose weight. There's some people that want to gain weight or just be healthy. And I found her crying, and she was so grateful that she'd come because my wife cooks. We feed you what we're talking about as far as health. And then you're able to gain weight, health, gain health, whatever you need to do, we help you understand that process. Then you leave with a support group. Because we have a support group online, and also we have people you can call and say, "Hey, I'm tired of eating salad. What do you think I ought to eat?" And then we have some suggestions. That whole facility, my whole family is about teaching people truth and helping. You know, I can tell you all kinds of things, and I can tell you all kinds of things, but if you don't implement it into your life, what good is it? It's about education, changing people's life. Now, I'm going to do this for you. If you are interested in this seminar. If you are interested in this seminar. I'm going to tell you how it is today. If you're interested in this seminar and doing this. If you take care of it today. You give this pretty little girl your check or your cash or whatever. Make arrangements. It's $270. Why am I doing this? I truly care. I truly, truly care. I want people to implement this information into their lives. I want to integrate it. I don't want you to say, "Well, you know, I went and got some information and I think it's true," but I want you to test it. I want you to put it to work. I want it to change your life for the better. Because we in America ought to be the healthiest people on the planet, and we're not. Why? Because we eat a fat-free diet, and the fat that we do eat is poisonous. It just goes on and on. Now, I appreciate your attention. Is there any other questions at all?
I do have one more.
Yes.
Okay, I went to my doctor's, had some blood work done for my enzymes and stuff in my liver, and they found that I do have high cholesterol. I'm at like 130, but said he wants me below 130.
I understand why he wants you to below 130, okay? When they first began with cholesterol, anything below 300 was okay. The chemical company wasn't making enough money, so they dropped it to 250. They weren't making enough money, so they dropped it to under 100. Cholesterol is about selling pills. It has nothing to do with health. Plaques in arteries, is inorganic minerals mixed with cholesterol that plugs the arteries. If you're concerned about cholesterol, don't take their medication. It destroys muscle, but if you want to lower your cholesterol so that he's happier, cook with coconut oil. Because coconut oil nourishes the liver.
So I'm okay with a little higher cholesterol then.
The number you're telling me, I've had people in the 400s, the 800s. Okay, it means there's a dietary imbalance and the liver's not correct because it's producing cholesterol. It's the one that produces it. If you feed the liver with good quality oil, it will quit doing that. Okay, just start cooking with coconut oil. You had a comment, didn't you, about cholesterol? Oh, well, I kept yammering on. Okay. Okay.
So 130 is okay
then? 130 is fine. There's nothing wrong with 130.
Yeah, because I've seen her face over there. She's
like... that's nothing.
Anything under 3, they began medicating at 300. Okay. I remember this. And then they weren't making enough money, so they went to 250. They weren't making enough money, so then they went to 100. Lowering cholesterol too low is not good for you. Yes.
I had my testing a couple different times back in the early 90s, 1990s, and it was 140 over 90, except it was borderline.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't right.
No,
right.
Was it? So.
I didn't do anything about it. I just changed my diet.
Right. And more whole grains, different things like that makes a big difference also.
So
okay.
You're saying coconut oil versus is probably your best bet with.
Yes. Yes.
What about salad dressings and stuff?
Yes.
Like coconut oil, even because I use this Newman's. It's
Newman's are generally not too terribly bad.
It's an extra virgin olive oil and vinegar.
But oil and the only problem with coconut oil is at certain temperatures it turns into concrete. What's wrong with olive oil? What's wrong with good?
Can't you fuel cars on it?
Yes. But what about almond oil? Almond oil and vinegar. That's awesome. Vegetable oils. It has solvents in it, and that's what we discuss. That's why you need to come. We have a blast. Plus, the fact, I'm going to feed you 6 meals. So, okay. I know Patty wants to leave tonight. I appreciate you coming here. I really do. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it. And those that are on the internet, please feel free to go to the link. If you're interested in this seminar, the internet will be carrying it. So we'll get you that information if you inquire. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're done. Well, you don't have